Nonconformity. The passage that I'd like to set before you is Philippians 3, 17 to 21. If you can follow along, notice the concept of where we take our pattern. Brethren, be followers together. This is literally imitators of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Mark them. Notice the people that are walking correctly and those that are not. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. There's a way of walking in your life that makes you an enemy of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's the summarizing thing. What are they focused on? Earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. This phrase means we live or conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're visiting here, we're living here as ambassadors, but this isn't our home or obtaining heaven. From whence, also from heaven, also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he will do. Who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He says, until that time, until he comes and actually changes our body, we're left with this body. And with this body is left the old man that died in Christ, right alongside the new man that is resurrected with Christ. So let me back up, because this is a four-message series dealing with four steps to grow in our spiritual mind. Now, the first two are separating from the negative. The first one was purity. This is a separation from sinfulness, becoming Christ-like. And today, this morning, we want to deal with nonconformity, a separation from worldliness. So we'll get into that. But the next two that I'll be bringing are separating to the positive. You separate something from and move it to something else, to the positive. The three, number three then will be knowledge, a separating to the Word of God. This is where we will seek to understand the truth. And fourth, excellence. And once you have studied the Word of God for a while, this needs to become the direction of your life. It's not good enough to be good enough. We have to aim for excellence. We have to discern and aim for the best. So we'll be dealing with those positively in the next thing, as God allows. The last time we saw, the first step was purity. Spiritually minded people focus on purity rather than just, they're not focusing on sin, we're focusing on purity. They seek to be clean in the eyes of God, pleasing to God. Beyond this, and we look to the scripture, we see that there are various sins that are listed, and we are awakened to that. We say, well, then these things are not the things we want to do. But beyond that, we need, the scripture calls us, to be nonconformists. That was a big deal as I was growing up, being a nonconformist. I had a seventh grade teacher who was very proudly a nonconformist, and he said that when he was in college, they said, well, you're a nonconformist. Why, you join our club. We have a club of nonconformists. He says, get out of here. nonconformists don't join clubs, he said. The thing about it that I saw as I was growing up in my 7th, 8th grade, which at that time they called junior high school, is that everybody wanted to be a nonconformist just like everybody else was a nonconformist. You had to conform to their nonconformism. You showed your nonconformism by the goofy things you wore and the hairdo and strange outfits and all that stuff. Some of that's settled down into normal lifestyle anymore, but back then it was, you know, it was strange and you were looked at as unusual. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to think about how you shape your life. You begin with an image of what you imagine a happy life should be. That's sort of a goal that you put in your mind. You imagine, I don't know, a successful person. You imagine others admiring you. You admire, imagine an image that includes being well-dressed, you know, and decorated with marks of success, some bling. All around you, successful and beautiful people are attracted to you. We have this image, you see, what we think of our life ought to be. Maybe you see yourself walking through life and just slightly, it's like a movie star that walked through some special script that you saw, you know. And that's you. You imagine yourself as that person. See? What I'm trying to do today is to allow us to ask some important questions about that image. The first question is this: where am I getting these images? Can you be specific? Are these the images a Christian should imitate? Oh, I didn't think about should. What's wrong with that? You know, well, maybe. Then what do I look like? If someone just looks at you and then is asked to categorize what they see, what would they write down? Is the word Christian anywhere near that description? You see? So perhaps you ask, Pastor, does this really matter? Aren't you going too far? My answer is yes. This is important. You automatically, it's built within you, you automatically conform to that pattern that you've formed. You are moving in that direction. When we follow the God-given map of life, our lives become consistent and logical. It makes sense. So let me ask you, if your life is inconsistent and illogical, it probably shows that you're trying to follow two different maps of life. One from God, that God has planted in you from the Word of God, and the worldly pattern that the world has donated to you. It just doesn't fit together. You have two same territory, but two different maps, two contradictory maps. No wonder you're confused. No wonder your life is inconsistent. Which map today, you see, which will you follow? God calls us to avoid certain patterns and to adopt new ones. And I'd like to prove that to you from the Word of God today. Two things then, and I'll be done. That sounds simple, doesn't it? Number one is do not conform. Number two is conform. So number one, do not conform. Do not conform to what? Well, first of all, to this age. And I use the word age to encompass perhaps more than you think of as the world. Romans 12:2, and here's the command, be not conformed to this world. The word world is ion, And it means an age. It means a period of time. It means usually a period of time characterized by a certain quality. But instead, be ye transformed. We've mentioned this before. It's metamorphosis, metaform. Change the form by the renewing of your mind. You had a mind when you got saved that had been trained by the devil, your father, by the world, your circumstance, by those images that you thought of that would be your successful life. You have to renew that mind. You have to make that mind new. Transform it by the renewing of your mind. That, because this is the only way it will happen, that you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're not actually putting God's will to the test if you keep the image that you learned outside of salvation. That's the way I ought to be. Or that's the way I am, that's just the way I ought to be. So this world, don't let this world press you into its mold. This age, there are fads of the cultural world. Culture, think of culture. Be cultured. Social philosophies, attitudes toward men, your attitudes toward women, your attitudes toward the homeless, your attitudes toward politics. Are you following the fad of the culture of this age? Or are you taking these ideas from the Word of God? There are fads of the fashion world. What clothes you wear, how you wear them, hairstyle, smoking, and now vaping, electronic smoking. I hate to think what that smoke is. Wearing of gold and jewels, you know, how you decorate yourself. There are fads of the intellectual world. You have to speak with a British accent when you say intellectual. Evolution. Has it made its inroads into your image? Humanism. Man is the measure of all things. How about current literature? I'm not against reading. I'm not against actually exploring some of these things. But I am saying this. Don't let that at all become your new Bible. Why, this is the current thought. How about fads of the spiritual world? Well, I've lived through the time when the Asian religions are just really popular. Be one with all things. You heard about the Buddhist who went to the hot dog vendor, said, "Make me one with everything." Reincarnation. Reincarnation. That was a previous life. Man becomes God. And I think the dominant one today is personally believe something, but appreciate all beliefs. It's a fad. It's a Western fad. It's a fad of our culture. It's a fad of our time, of our age. Where are you getting these things, you see? What's influencing you to have that as part of the image of what your life is like? Don't be one of the unthinking herd. Just take a step, moo, eat some grass, you know. Withstand peer pressure. It's the hardest thing to do. The people around you that you would like them to like you, but you're truly a nonconformist, you're not conforming to the way they think, it's really hard. 1 John 2:16-17. for all that is in the world. This is the word cosmos, referring specifically to sinful human society. All that is in the world, all that sinful man has come up with, culture, philosophy, fashion. What is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he says, analyze this. This is not of the Father, but is of the world. So are you going to take your lifestyle image from the world? And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, the desires of it. But he that doeth the will of God, you've taken your desires from him, abideth forever. Everlasting, stable. Do not conform to this age, but do not conform to old desires. What do I mean by that? 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. You see that picture? You have that image, you're fashioning yourself after that image. He says, don't do this. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. This word is epithumia. Thumia is to be heated, and this is an intensifier. It's the word for desires. Lusts is just desires, and this can be desires for anything, you see, but it's the former desires in your ignorance. Don't continue to fashion yourself now as you did when you had the old desires. You've got to change what you're desiring. Peter here sees us as newly formed sons of God. See? We are children who walk through a world that is new to us, this spiritual world, this Christian world. This is new to us. We don't really understand it all. So what are we supposed to do? Well, and that's what he says, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, that's who we are, desire the sincere milk of the word. Like the baby desires the milk. We want to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, you see. How do we get oriented? How do we get strong? How do we come to the place where we can understand what's going on? We turn to God. Not the former lusts, not the former desires, not what we used to want as an unsaved person. He encourages us here as obedient children, see, as newborn babes. Let us look to our loving Father and realize that while we don't understand everything, he does. He knows best. He has our best interest in mind. He loves us. See, we're children. So we may desire candy for supper. He says no. Now here's the deal. You can go ahead and pout, but just obey. I want a candy. He says, no, liver and onions tonight. Good brain food. He calls them the former lusts. You see, what did you desire then? You were dead to God. You were dead spiritually. You were dying soulishly. But in salvation, he raised you from the dead. Look with me at Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins. I want you to see yourself laying there dead in sins. A corpse. Being dead in your sins, being dead in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with, made alive with him. When Christ rose from the dead, you who join into Christ with salvation are raised from the dead with him, having forgiven you all trespasses So we were dead. The desires that we had then were the desires of the dead. But the corpse was comfortable with. Use the former lusts. This is what we desired then. It's not us now. Now, however, that corpse of your old man hangs on, calls you to acts of corruption that it longed for, but this is not the new man speaking to you. Let me take you through Romans 7, 4 through 24. We'll do this bit by bit because I want to show you something here. Pastor Porter brought this out in his series on sin, that this passage was particularly helpful to him to understand the shocking truth that here he's supposed to be a Christian. Why is he still wanting to do these sinful things? And this helped to settle things in his thinking. Perhaps it will help you. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I, now I've done a thing here that the evil you, the old you, the old man you, has a little red outline on the letter. Do you see that first I is a little tinged red? And then there's an I that is tinged with green, which is go good. That's the good you. And I want you to see two U's here, or two I's. I am carnal, meaning fleshly. I'm of the flesh, born in the flesh, sold under sin. Our grandfather Adam sold us under sin. For, and he says, here's how I see this, for that which I do, that's the bad I allow, do I allow? I, good me, understands it. I know, Greek no. I know what's going on. For what I would, the good me, wants to do, that do I, the bad me, not. The old man. But what I hate, the good me, what I hate, that do I, the bad me. Say, I'm sounding a little schizophrenic here. Well, he's explaining this, you see. Verse 16. If then I, bad me, do that which I, good me, would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The good me is agreeing with here the law of God, which means God's plan for my life, God's spiritual emphasis, God's pattern of himself. See, that's his conclusion. Well then, if good me is wanting to do what's right, then the good me is on God's side. Look at verse 17. Now then, here's the first conclusion. It is no more I that do it. It's not the good I that's doing it. Don't be defeated in this thing. But sin that dwelleth in me. What is it? It's that corpse. Still attached. The old man still attached. Dead, but still attached. Verse 18. For I know that in me, good me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In the fleshly part of me, what Adam gave me, there's no good thing in that. And he sees this because for to will is present with me, the good me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The sinful me. For the good that I would, good me once, I, bad me, does not. But the evil which I, good I, would not, that, bad I, does. So he continues the argument. Now, if I do that I would not, if bad I does what good I wouldn't want to do, then it is no more good I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He'd mentioned before, it's in my flesh. No good thing in the flesh. What we got from Adam, we can't depend on that. The fleshly desires, that comes from the flesh, from the old man. Verse 20, now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See that? He says, then I find a law. I find a new principle here. I find a defining principle of my life. When I would do good, evil is present with me. It's attached. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The saved me understands that. But I see another law, another principle in my members, in my body, see, warring against the law of my mind that agrees with God and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death, or this body of death? He says, right attached, oddly, to my back, where he can whisper into my ear, is me, the old dead one, still corrupting, still wanting that sense of evil, that experimentation with corruption. It's right there. Saying, you know what would be good right now? We see God's answer to him, who will deliver me? God's answer is, I will. When I rapture you off this earth, when I take your dead body up, change it to an everlasting body, you're done with sin. I'll give you a new body completely free from sin and its efforts. You don't have to worry about that flesh whispering desires of corruption. See, the real you as a Christian, feels sick at yielding to sin because you sense what that is. It returns you to the rotting corruption of the old man. You shudder to wallow in that filth. You flinch to take in that stench. Yet even now, an unguarded moment, if you listen without recognizing who's speaking, the former lusts will sound like fun. It whispers, feel the tingling. The new man replies, tingling? Those are worms. It urges, that's exciting. The new man says, no, those are filth-eating cockroaches crawling over my body. I know the truth now. That's just the corpse wanting that thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, that was Galatians. We'll get to that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, there we go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, or let him be a new creature. This is the word creation. Let him be a new creation. It's not the old, you see, it's the new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this word for new means qualitatively new, fresh. The old, stale, old man still whispering, but you are a new creation, newly created by God. New birth. So he says, be ye holy. This goes back to the Old Testament, Leviticus 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Peter quotes this, 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the pattern here is not just you doing the best you can. This is be holy as God is holy. Be holy as God is holy. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, look to Jesus in this. For our conversation is in heaven. That's our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's looking to him. That's in our passage. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author or beginner and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're looking to him for this, you see, for our image of holiness. And look to the Father, God the Father. Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even, notice this phrase, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Luke, again, he says, be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. There's the pattern. This is the new image of who you are. This is you being a success, not defined by the world, not defined some level of sophistication. So be as different from your old self as God is unique in himself. You must be different from those around you who do not bear a family relationship to God. God's children, like him, must be different. Here we have Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we, saved people, continue in sin like we used to do, that grace may abound? Grace forgives us our sins, right? Let grace abound. We'll just keep on in sin. God forbid. May it never be. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven. We were looking at this in Sunday school. That you may be a new lump, that as ye are unleavened, unspotted by the sin. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed or slain for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, the holy day, not with old leaven. Don't celebrate your Passover salvation with the old leaven. Find a new image. The leaven of malice, hatred to other people, wickedness. But how? With the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It's new stuff that God shows you from the Word of God. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, this is the word that means his own, people. You belong to him. Be a chip off the old block, you see. Look like your Father. He wants to purify unto himself his own people who are zealous of good works. Good is defined by God. We find this word peculiar again, 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar. This time the word means a purchased people. It pictures how in this adoption it cost him a price to bring us to himself. That you should show forth what? The praises or the virtues of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We ought to look like our Father. We're going to take the image of success, the image of who we are, the image of who we want to be from another place. We're going to reflect his praises, his virtues. So, contrary to common advice, don't do what comes naturally. Do the supernatural. Super, above. Be above human nature. 2 Peter 1:4, how can I be above human nature? Whereby are given unto us in the Word of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of, not even human nature, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, those former lusts. We escape it by dwelling on the new man that has become a partaker of the divine nature. I want you to ask yourself by application here, why haven't I grown and changed into the Christian I desire to be? Realize, as Paul explained, one part of you wants to experience generative change, life-giving change, grow as a Christian, part of you. Another part of you resists this change. Do you sense the resistance? That changing from what you used to be, what you used to think was the great image of a successful being, happy life? That part of you resists that? You see, we would have been better off by now if we hadn't found that resistance. So let me ask you, what specifically am I resisting? Where is this resistance found? Where is it I don't want to change? How specifically do I resist? What am I doing that keeps me from resisting, that keeps me from changing, you see? How am I resisting? When specifically do I resist? Does this happen at a particular time of the day? Time of something? And then in what circumstances do I find myself resisting God's change? Make the change. Take that period of time and those circumstances and change it around. Don't give in to that. All right, that was number one. Number two, be conformed. Be conformed. Be conformed to what? Two things. To Christ's death. Identify yourself that you died with Christ. Recognize you stand as the new man, not the old man. The old man has its former lusts. It's still whispering in your ears. You love the dirt. You love the grave. You love the worm. You say, no, I don't. That's not me. I want the things of God. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, Paul's prayer, and the power of his resurrection. Resurrection from what? From the dead. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He died to sin, rose to new life. So be dead to sin. Understand this. Know this to be true. Romans 6:6-7. Knowing this, count on it as true, that the old man is crucified, was crucified. Wrong tense, with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That was the point of it, the body of sin that keeps the old lusts, to have it destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, yielding to it. For he that is dead is freed, literally justified, stands rendered righteous from sin. We're in a position we stand in a position rendered righteous before God. We are not the old man that died, that was crucified. That's when we entered into Christ. His crucifixion enters into us, and we died to the old man, died to the old flesh. So be dead to sin. Know this to be true. And secondly, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Believe it to be true of you. Die to self. Die to self. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. What does that mean? Sounds mystical. No, it means you die to yourself. The Christian is to love God with all his heart. He is to love the neighbor that God sends his way. Not self. The Apostle Paul counsels the Gentile Galatian church not to try to please God with the world's religions. Let's look at some passages from Galatians. Galatians 4, 8 and 9. He's talking to them and he says, "How be it then, when ye knew not God," back before you were saved, "ye did service unto them," those idols, "which by nature are no gods." It's only one God. You were worshiping things that weren't God. "But now, after you have known God," or rather are known of God, "how turn ye again?" Why would you turn back to the foolishness of that before? "To the weak and beggarly elements," or rudiments, "whereunto you desire again to be in bondage." You want to go back to the old way? He says that's not the way to please God. Don't look to the world's religions for insight in these things. They're worshiping that which is not by very nature, not God. Then he counseled them not to try to please God with Jewish law keeping. Galatians 5:4. "Christ is become of no effect to you, whosoever you are justified by the law." You are fallen from grace. Our only hope is the grace of God. You say, "I'll handle it myself. Thank you very much, God. I don't need you." Oh, yes, you do. So, he comes down to this then. To please God, they were told to please God by learning his love. Galatians 5:13b, "By love serve one another." This means through the method of love, the Christian is to give himself as a slave to one another. And remember, the slave does not get to choose whether to do what he's told. Say, "I don't have a choice." No. We die to self. Our focus is entirely outward, to God first, and how we can help others. So, conform to that, and then conform to Christ's resurrection, his newness of life. Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to" what? "To be conformed," here's predestination, "to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." It's a family thing. "For us to join his family, Christ being the firstborn of many brethren, of which we are the brethren." He wants us to look like the true son. The adopted children need to become like the natural son. 2 Corinthians 3:18. How do we make that change? "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed." It's in that beholding. That image that we have of the successful person is Jesus. Not the guy walking through the movie. Not the beautiful girl walking down the red carpeted runway. It's Jesus. "Beholding into the glass the glory of the Lord," the glory of Jesus Christ. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It happens spiritually. It happens magically within you. Colossians 3, 8 to 10. "Now ye also put off all these." Where are all these stuck? In the old man, in the old flesh, down in the cells that kick up and tell you what to do. What are they? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." You put it off. That's not you anymore. "And have put on the new man." What is he like? "Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." That's to whom we are to conform. And let me say this, as the passage ends, There's an end to all the learning and the discipling and the struggling. There's an end to this. Paul, there's an end. Oh, wretch that I am, who will deliver me? There is an end. 1 Corinthians 15:49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Time's coming. The resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15:51, 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See? Into something so much better. Philippians 3:21, the passage that told us about this. Who shall change our vile body. Why is it vile? Because it harbors all the sinful desires. That's the old man. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, that resurrection body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things to himself. How is he going to do that? Look, he can subdue everything. And he's going to change the vile body into the new. God will finish our transformation and make us forever different from the course of this world with its judgment. We will then be conformed to the image of Christ when God gathers us to himself as Christ's brothers and sisters. Remember that he was conforming us to himself that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, our older brother, we're remarkably like him. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's our goal. Why are we nonconformists? Because the world offers nothing for us. God offers everything. Look at that blue sky and beautiful daisies, day's eye looking up. This is what we need to do, look up. Take our image from him, not from the world. Let's pray. Father, you touch us with the importance of change. And we find ourselves strangely resistant to follow your beautiful path. But Father, you have revealed to us that the cause of the resistance is the old corpse, that we, the new man, keep somehow around us. Oh, Father, to be delivered from that, the rapture of the church, taking our vile body and changing it to your glorious body. But Father, until then, we need to recognize who's talking when these former lusts revive. It's not us, it's the enemy. It's not us, it's the old man, dead, dying, corrupting, wanting the filth. Father, help us to walk not conformed to the world, but conformed unto thee. With heads bowed, eyes closed. It may be that you're saying, Pastor, I see I'm not growing as I should, as I wish. Within, I want what God wants for me, but I don't find the power. I wonder if you would dedicate yourself then to rethinking the map of your life territory. And saying, I'm going to actively reject the image that I had and not let it carry over. I'm going to find the new image. I'm going to find the new pattern in Christ. And I'll find that through the study of the Word of God. To be able to look into the mirror and see His glory reflected in me. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up, say, pray for me. This is what I'm looking for in my life. Yes, amen. 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 Father, thank you for these hands. I thank you for our tender hearts. We thank you for those that recognize that there is a lure of the old ways, but it is not helpful to us. It does not help us to grow, to build, to do what is right and to be blessed of thee. We ask that you might help us then to turn from that actively. Listen as the words are whispered in our ear and ask ourselves, where is this coming from? Is this me, the new man that lives with the principle of God before my eyes? Or is this the old man that wants to drag me down into the depths of corruption? Help us to actively reject that, being dead to sin. We recognize that when the call is to sin, that's not from thee. So we pray, Father, you might strengthen us with your truth, your understanding, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.